Blog Talk Radio.
Can you please leave? Come on. All right.
ask mama to make me a cup of coffee and put real little sweeteners in it. You know, nice, good, strong cup of coffee, okay? Pepsin 1-2-3.
Pepsin,
okay. We had thought we'd had some technical problems. But some people suggest to us, Brother Imam, why don't you just retire? Just go off to the sunset and just relax. Can't relax. We can't relax as long as there's Sandra Bland being killed. We can't relax as long as there's Eric Garner being killed. We can't relax as long as there's unemployment in the African-American community. We can't relax until all African-American people are free and brave enough to establish our lives in America and throughout the Western Hemisphere. So since that is the case, we have to work hard. We have to work smart. And we have to be prepared to overcome lethargy. We have to be prepared to do what our religion requires of us, which is say, higher. El-Salat, El-Salat, come alive to the Word of God. The Word of God is obligating us to establish that God's rule is greater than anything on earth. In education, in business, in culture. That God requires us to lift up something superior to Rihanna, something superior to Kendrick Lamar, something superior to Vanity Fair. God obligates us to establish our life in America. That's the obligation, and that's what the human nature requires. And I agree with Imam Wahabuddin Muhammad II. The reason we can't establish anything is because we don't have peace. We must have peace within. African-American man can't have to be on a guilt trip wherein he feels he's guilty. What has he committed? What crimes has he committed that he has to feel guilty? As long as people feel guilt and shame, people who come through the nation of Islam have to give up shame. I'm giving you what Joel Osteen can't give you. I'm giving you what Louis Farrakhan can't give you. I'm giving you what no leader living on earth can give you. Can't give you, rather. They can't give you this, what I'm giving. And if you will listen to the sound of my voice, tell others about what we are doing. I'm going to give you a report now. Because I'm obligated, since I work for you, I'm your servant, you are my employer. And really, you are the one that actually even pay my salary. You buy my tapes, you buy my materials, and you keep me living. God has blessed me so far with you. And with you and I, as Jesus the Christ said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men near unto me. That's why we have to value leadership. That's why we have to fight with all the fiber of our being, envy and jealousy. When it rises up and to fight it, that's what's holding African Americans back. That's why we can't be a booming, burgeoning business community as others, because we're so filled, so full of envy and jealousy and hatred for each other. Let's fight that. God said, fight the schemes of Satan because they are weak. And it's weak to succumb to jealousy. It's weak to come to envy. If you know somebody more qualified than you, support that person. And don't get mad. Don't get jealous. Don't get angry when other people jump in front of the line. Oh, they ain't cutting the line. They're competing because they're following bold and majestic leadership. Don't get mad when the Chinese set up in your neighborhood. Don't get mad when the Afghans set up in your neighborhood. Get glad that God has given you the opportunity to set up in your own neighborhood. If you see a vacant, vagrant neighborhood, you should set up shop too.
Don't be afraid of competition. Don't be a wallflower that withdraws from the society. Be one that engages society. And when you see one who's aggressive, like I am, I'm an aggressive person because I followed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I'm not going to go to Washington, no time to fight. I'm not going to listen to anybody tell me to go to Washington. Well, I've heard Minister Farrakhan have invited people to come to Washington. Leave your babies at home because we may have to fight. Minister Farrakhan, you ain't going to fight nobody. You're going to fight a bean pie. You're going to fight a pretty suit. You're going to fight a flight to get out the hell out of Washington and get on a plane and go to your home in Mexico. I say this boldly, committedly, and candidly. Don't waste 1 million people's time to tell them to come to Washington. Tell them to get up and produce for self. Tell them to get up and own. Tell them to control their lives and be competitors in America and not beggars in America. Now let me give you the report. I don't know, my spirit was just moving me to tell you this. And I'm feeling vibration from you. You are the ones on my notes. I write my notes out, but the notes I get is from the vibration from the people who listen to this program. And I know your soul is requesting it, because frankly, if I were responding to how I feel today, I would be somewhere lying in my bed or reading the New York Times or doing something else. But I can't do that because we can't stop now. We had a very productive week. We had the opportunity to first meet and greet the members of the press of the National Association of Black Journalists, over 4,000 or 5,000 black journalists, including, although he's not a journalist, but he was one of the guests there, Lou Gossett, the actor, Gordon Parks' son, he was there. We had an opportunity to greet him. We had an opportunity to share time with him, share it with him. He's a great vision of Imam Waruddin Muhammad. We also had an opportunity to meet, I don't want to name press members, I don't want to embarrass them. Maybe they don't want to associate with me. But some of you could see them on Facebook. We were very happy and pleasantly surprised to see their response to us. And when I say us, I'm talking about Imam W.D. Muhammad's community. Because that's what I'm married to. That's my life, to represent the new soul that God has put on earth, Imam Waruddin Muhammad. And after spending time with them, we went to visit Masjid An-Nura in Minneapolis, Minnesota. We were in the city of Minneapolis, very special city, very lively city. Well, the Somalians have settled in that city after coming out of a war-torn zone, and they established their lives. They haven't been here 20 years. And they're responsible for electing Keith Ellison, largely, to the Congress in Minnesota. He was elected by Caucasians, Somalians, and some African-Americans, and funded primarily by liberal Caucasians and Somalians. Wake up, African-Americans, and smell the coffee. Wake up, African-Americans, and accept full responsibility for your lives. We did visit Masjid An-Nura where the great, noble, and honorable Imam Makram El-Amin presides as the resident imam and his wife. The wife of Brother Charles Al-Amin, Imam, Sister Earlene, she greeted us. We were able to be there. We invited him to the mosque here's convention. We want to let you know we're celebrating 85 years of independence in America. Powerful motivations. From there, we went back to visit with the Muslims in Minneapolis, also to visit with the African-Americans. We're never going to give up African-Americans. We're going to continue to talk with African-Americans. And we visited with the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Minister Nathaniel Muhammad. who is still ministering Nathaniel Muhammad. He might be accepted to be called Imam Nathaniel Muhammad, but we had a wonderful visit with him. Spent time with him. Wouldn't be in Minneapolis without seeing him. In good spirits, shared about the honorable and noble Honorable Elijah Muhammad, shared about the honorable and noble Sister Clara Muhammad, shared some things with us about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that I had forgotten. Honorable Elijah Muhammad, a man from Georgia, Sandersville, Georgia, the son of a great Baptist preacher that later on became a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Wasn't too stiff-necked, proud, and rebellious to reject truth when he saw it and accepted his son. You know, it's something to be a Baptist preacher. It's something else to be a preacher. And also to now leave the church. Not only to leave the church, but to actually leave But in leaving the church, he followed his son. And it was just so great to be with Minister Nathaniel Muhammad, because he told us about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's pre-Islamic days, when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had become so depressed, so downward in spirit, that he laid on the railroad tracks to be killed in a form of suicide. And listen, he was picked up by a Caucasian man and brought home. And I want you to understand that an African-American man who can't support his family feel helpless, perhaps feel suicidal, may even feel homicidal, feel ashamed. And Minister Nathaniel was asked the question, did you eat out of the garbage can? He said, yes, I ate a piece of white cake out of the garbage can. That's our origins. The man that was 4 years old when Mr. Farad, that he was called the Savior, saved them from poverty, hunger, out of doors, confusion, alienation, hopelessness, came in Black Bottom in Hamtramck, Michigan, invited them to a new way of life. He told us that Mr. Brock said they had been tricked into Christianity and they had to be tricked out of Christianity. Therefore, they had to use trick knowledge. The Nation of Islam was a strategy, a trick knowledge, until people could get the real knowledge. He also told us that Mr. Farad wrote on the door the name of Wallace D. Muhammad and said he would be the son that would help his father. Dear beloved people, after visiting Minister Nathaniel Muhammad, we returned home. Our hearts were filled with the spirit of renewal, with the spirit of hope and determination that 85 years ago, some 75 years after slavery, after chattel slavery ended, because right after that, we went right back into a dark pit of neo-chattel slavery, sharecropping, eventually being forced by conditions and by terror to come to the northern, where we were terrorized again, where we alienated and up the creek without a paddle. Minister Nathaniel Muhammad, 89 years old, nearly 90 years old, has witnessed. And I'm praying to Almighty God, allow Elijah Muhammad, brothers that love the Honorable Elijah Muhammad so much, he named himself Elijah Muhammad. He will bring Brother Minister Nathaniel Muhammad, and I hope you will send donations to us here at Religion Means Alive. You can go to PayPal and donate to Imam Alpha Muhammad. We'll have donate money, hopefully, to get Brother Minister Nathaniel Muhammad. This is what the purpose of Religion Means Alive is. It is to help. It is to assist in community development and community outreach. So we are looking forward to that. We then came back and was asked by the president of the mosque here, Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad II, to represent him. I'm honored and privileged beyond words. Emotions can't express it. Words can't express the emotions I feel to serve the Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad's ministry. They asked me to come, I come. When they asked me to go, I go. They asked me to stand down, I stand down. Whatever they ask me to do, I'm going to do it. And they asked me to represent them at MUNA, the Muslim Ummah of North America, where we brought greetings. We didn't give a speech, but we did invite all people, goodwill, come out to the Muslim convention, the mosque here at convention. Don't pay no attention to anybody else's convention. I said it. Yes, I said it. But to come out to the mosque here's convention, where we're going to have a wonderful convention, a workshops on Jewish-Muslim relationship, Jewish-Christian-Muslim relationship. Someone from Russell Simmons' organization will be there. Workshops on business, workshops on education, workshops on culture. Come out if you got merchandise and sell your merchandise. Come out and find investors for your businesses. Expositions. Come on out and be with if you're single. Come out and get married. Rupert and Jenny Triplett is going to be there. They're going to help. Let's get married. Education. Powerful Juma Khatib, Imam Qasim Ahmed. Learned from the days when he was Larry Poets Pittman. He's going to be there. He's now evolved, as Allah says, Rabbil Alameen. He's evolved to be Imam Qasim Ahmed. He will be the Khatib, the speaker for the Jumma prayer. Coming out Sunday, we're going to have a very powerful public address. Albert Y. Muhammad. Essence Dickerson, a young, powerful sister in her own rights. Who knows, may end up being the President of the United States. Albert Muhammad may end up being the President of the United States. We don't know what's going to happen, but we see a bright future. Better days are here. We have to believe in the future. God says that. And the future will be better for you than the present. I know what the translator translated as the Akhira. The Akhira, he says the Akhira, but God says that the Akhira would be better for you than the present. The future, not just the next life after death. The Quran doesn't have to burden you with death. God doesn't need to burden you with death. You already know you're going to die. A dog knows he's going to die. Any animal knows he's going to die. Life and death is a part of the cycle. But death, the social death that you and I experience today, God is addressing that, the death of morality, the death of the intellect, the death of the spirit, the death of the soul. That's what God is addressing. So we were with MUNA, Muslims, primarily from Bangladesh. They treated us very warmly, brotherly. Met our Muslim Puerto Rican brothers, Muslims from America, Muslims from everywhere, primarily Bangladesh. Spent time with our great friend, Imam Siraj Wahaj, formerly Jeffrey 12X, Brother Imam Abdul Malik, other great luminaries, different schools of thinking, but men who are committed to Allah and His Messenger, as I'm committed to Allah and His Messenger, but also committed to African American life. Muslim African American life speaker. That's what I'm here until God wraps me up and takes me back. Well, when He takes me back, I'm only His slave, and I do what He only what He wants me to do, and that's all I'm gonna do anyway, and I willingly do that. Our topic today is business and our lives, and is money the root of all evil? We want to answer that question. But we want to also say before answering that question that we had a great time to see a great businessman this week. That was Imam Makram El-Amin. I expect him to be at the convention. I hope he'll be my special guest. And I hope you'll sit on the platform with me at the Mosqueers Convention. We are entering 40 years in the center of 40 years of the leadership of Imam Waruddin Muhammad. The seventh year of the leadership of Imam Waruddin Muhammad II. President of the Mosqueers. Now let's turn our attention to Adam, that God created from dust and made him an industrial man, an industrial Adam means an industrial intellect. Industrial. He dug into the earth. The first man. Don't have a lot of time to talk, but our first impulse is in the material world. Isn't that right? That's why he's considered our first father. The two fathers in our religion, or what we you all would call theology, or what the world would call theology, how we conceive. But religion for Muslims is a conceptualization and an actualization. And theology in Christianity and Judaism, it is more a conceptualization, and it's left to the others to make a determination as to what the life is to be like. So for us, Adam is the father. What is our father? Jesus the Christ said, I must be about my father's business. Did Jesus the Christ mean that God would his father? Absolutely not. God could never be our father. God creates fathers. God can never be in anyone's person. God is above all persons. God can be in no and not one race. God is the creator of all races, all colors. So he's not our father. What an awful thought that God goes to the bathroom. That God has to eliminate waste. God is way above that. He created human beings. And meaning that the scripture is saying that the Father, don't talk ever say God is your Father. God is not your Father. The earth is your Father. That's why religion means alive. We're here to bring religion in its truest meaning. Being about my father's business is to dig in the earth and provide why we're talking about it. That's why we are Adam. We're a new beginning. Because everything has been cut off from us. Our very nature has been cut off. We have been conditioned to believe that the white man is our father. And now some of us have interpreted the white man and put him down, and we got the red man. Now we put the red man down, and we got the brown man. It is sad to be around African-American people, whether they be Muslims, Christians, or Jews, and for them to believe that they are entitled to receiving welfare checks and other types of entitlements from other people because they have not understood Scripture. One very learned man said of me, I love what Imam Alfred is talking. He said, but we got to understand the white man. Now the sisters say, we got not only got to understand the white, we got to get them to like us. That's daddy. That's a daddy complex. Another African American man told me, he said, you know, I said, I'm going to. I see your back hurt. Not in the line in the drugstore. And he said, yeah, my back hurt. And he looked up in the sky and said, my daddy gonna protect me. And I said, your daddy? I just looked at this man. He was near 60 years older than me. Your daddy's still living? And your daddy gonna help you? He's talking about God, the creator of the heavens and earth, as his daddy. So what he's associating with God with the white man. That's why they said the worst form of oppression is false worship. And some of our African-American intellectuals, they may not think they're burdened by this, but they got the same burden that the African-American common people have. And I was with a group of African-American journalists, and I just thought none of them could conceptualize the Daily News of New York City, one of the largest newspapers in the United States of America, is up for sale, and they had 5,000 African-American journalists was there, many of them looking for jobs, and I know there had been 1,000 of them who could come up with at least $200,000 and have gone to some bank and borrowed the money to buy the Daily News, but because they believe the white man is God and their father, and that they are not entitled, and they believe that money is the root of all evil, they cannot take the step to be responsible for their own lives, and that's why Minister Farrakhan is going to lead a million of them to Washington, most of the middle-class African-Americans, who are angry because they can't accept responsibility for their God-given rights to dig in the earth and own and control their lives. They can't accept responsibility that there is $2.1 trillion floating through our communities. Almost 10% of the American economy. And they haven't even gotten stirred yet. Because they still believe that the white man is God. And they still believe that another one that looked like them, y'all ain't got drunk on blackness because it doesn't mean anything to you. Because you've never gone drill down and double down, where you're going into your intellect and your psyche, your soul, your mind is not comfortable with yourself. And the terror that's in your soul, and you act it out every day in your neighborhoods. For 1 year in Los Angeles, California alone, 13,000 1,000 people was killed in neighborhoods largely populated by us and our Latin brothers. Excuse me. So our leaders failed to tell us that this is the cause that we have gotten drunk on the black wine, on a whole black nonsensical game as an answer, as an antidote to white supremacy, and come up with another black supremacy game, and we are still worse off than we've ever been. Why? Because we no longer have a collective spirit. After Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., we don't have a collective spirit. 40 million hanging out together, tied together by pain, tied together by bitterness, tied together by anger, and 2.5 million Muslims in the Association of Imam W.D. Muhammad, the greatest liberator to walk the shores of North America, and the greatest liberator to walk the earth since Muhammad himself. And we can't make heads or tails. People divided and confused whether they should go to this place or that place, when everybody who got any money should be at the Muslim convention. Not to talk about the good old days, not to talk about what's going on somewhere else, but to talk about right now getting your share of the material world, to be discussing how we can feed ourselves, how we can clothe ourselves, how we can shelter ourselves, how we can build townships and neighborhoods and compete with others for our share of the American dream. That's the demand that we should be making in every neighborhood where we are. Damn shame during the month of the honorable Elijah Muhammad's birth that we're going to have some of the people claim to be his followers going to Washington to beg the white man to do for us what we can do for self. Keep your children home, they say. Why are you going to keep your children home? We may have to fight. You should fight in your neighborhoods. Buy your own chicken. Fight in your own neighborhood to feed yourself Chinese food. Fight in your own neighborhood to clothe yourself. Fight in your own neighborhood to develop yourself. Fight in your own neighborhood. Fight criminal forces in your neighborhood. Fight the stick-up man in your neighborhood. Fight the absentee fathers in your own neighborhood. Fight debauchery and envy and jealousy in your own neighborhood and your own self and your own family and your own home. Fight, for you are caught up in the scheme of Satan, who would like to see you divided, would like to see African-Americans against the Latinos, Latinos against the Asians. That's Satan's scheme, so he can control the whole goddamn world. And you're going for the okey-doke. Now, even to fight, you're going to fight the government. Why are you fighting the government? Because you're too lazy. I'm talking to the leaders. To mobilize your people like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad did. Told us to build and do for self. Those who listen who are Muslims, I'm a follower of the Quran. I'm a follower of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'll be a fool, an insane person, not to understand and appreciate the great work of all that has gone before. Appreciate the great work of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Marcus Mosiah Garvey, Elijah Lovejoy, Ida B. Wells, Fannie Lou Hamer, I would be a damn fool to throw away Paul Coffey, to throw away A.G. Gaston. I'd be a damn fool to throw away Asa Spaulding, an African-American in the 20s and the 10s. Give me some history lessons. Who built a large insurance company. Many others who built insurance companies and banks when times was really hard, when they had people actually physically terrorizing us, taking our possessions, burning our homes and businesses up. All the people burning your homes and businesses up now is your own self. I know I'm gonna be getting talk from some of you, oh, he hate black folk. No, I love African-American people. I started to say something slick and smart. I won't say it to you. Because I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to certain elements who are too lazy, too weak, too chumped out, too souped up on inferiority complexes to tell you what I'm telling you. And what I'm telling you is be bold enough, strong enough, courageous enough to do what Alfred Y. Muhammad told you to do. Leave them Jordans alone. Take that $500 that you're going to put in Jordan and learn how to put some money in the stock market, how to invest and own stores and businesses and building your neighborhoods up. Satan wants you to spend trillions of dollars and billions of dollars wasting it so he can control the rest of the resources. Tell Satan what the African-American ancestors of yours told him. I told old Satan to get behind me, thee. Victory is mine. God wants you to be victorious. God wants you to be successful. God wants you to own. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of these things, money, good home, friendship in all walks of life, luxury, peace of mind, contentment while you live. That's Bible for the biblical people. For the Muslims it says, and seek with what means God has made available to you, the promised life. Don't forget your share of the material world. This is obligatory upon us. Well, bless my livelihood. Elevate me. We said it 5 times a day. At least 20 times. That's my livelihood. Give me my provisions. That's why I'm going to be at the Muslim convention, the Mosque Cares convention. Discuss with others how we can develop a viable economic system. We can be competitors. We can build beautiful cities like Minneapolis. Beautiful cities designed by us. Us and for us. Instead of being like other animals, they just move in someone else's nest. Even a bird has a nature to build its own nest. Every animal builds its own home. Feed itself, clothe itself, shelter itself. The elephant even bury itself. Ceremony and mourn its losses. What's wrong with us? That nature has been snatched away from us. And we We must fight the story. We can't beg it out. We can't badger it out. We can't have a false intercourse with life. We must have a determined spirit to get our share of the material world. I think we're going to rest our case. We've had an extraordinarily busy week. And if there are questions, if Alfred Y. Muhammad is with us, we will answer questions and comments. We have about another 27 minutes to go. And I want to first of all thank Sister Kadira, Aisha Muhammad, who's been assisting us bravely, courageously. And she's been doing a marvelous job with us. All right. So I've been told by Alfred Y. Muhammad we are not taking questions. I thank you so much for listening. I'm going to see you tomorrow at 7 o'clock on Religion Means Alive. And if you have any programs you'd like for us to host or guests you'd like to bring by, please contact Sister Kadira Muhammad via Facebook. Listen to the broadcast tomorrow at 7 o'clock on Religion Means Alive. And we will continue this discussion. Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You have listened once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. We hope to see you at the convention. And that will be in Tinley Park, Illinois. I would urge you to get reservations because the hotels are rapidly filling up. We expect a highly successful convention. See you again on Religion Means Alive.